Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm Candace, and this is the research I did for my master's thesis at Virginia Tech. And I looked at pollen tube growth of several different crab apple cultivars. So why is this pollen tube growth important? Blossom thinning chemicals, their use can be improved greatly by knowing how fast the pollen tube grows. These chemicals go through and they destroy flower parts. So knowing how fast the pollen tube grows and fertilize the egg can really be helpful in determining how many apples you have fertilized on your tree, and therefore when to apply these chemicals to get the exact number that you want. So as you probably know, these thinners have a wide range of benefits. Most of these benefits come from removing the apples really early in the growing season, and this promotes return bloom and inhibits biennial bearing cycles. However, these thinning chemicals also often have inconsistent results, and these are related to several different things. Some of them are environmental conditions, such as temperature, humidity. Other inconsistent results are due to maternal cultivar. So your thinning program for a Fuji might not be the same as a Honeycrisp. And the plant's nutritional status can also have a role in how well your chemical blossom thinning program works. What we wanted to determine was if your pollinizer or the source of pollen actually could also contribute to these results. So my project kind of came out of this question of if the pollinizer, where your pollen comes from, can actually make a difference. So what I did is I measured the pollen tube growth of five different crabapple cultivars that I have listed here. They are Everest, Indian Summer, Snowdrift, Selkirk, and Thunderchild. And these are all crabapples that we have at the AREC in the northern Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. So I took this pollen that I collected from the trees and I pollinated it on the blossoms of three maternal cultivars, Fuji, Golden Delicious, and Pink Lady. And I repeated the experiment four times at four different temperatures, starting at 12 degrees Celsius, then 18, 24, and 30 degrees Celsius. And that's a range from 55 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit, just so you have an idea. So two of the questions that I'm going to discuss today that I was interested in are, which crabapple has the fastest growing pollen tubes? We really wanted to know if there's one source of pollen that really was much faster than the others, and if it was a race, per se, that it would always win. So that was the first question. And another question was, are there differences between these cultivars? We want to know if we can lump the pollen tube growth rate into one simple growth rate. It grows this amount in 24 hours at this temperature. So we're trying to determine if there actually are differences that would make that rate not correct. So to answer these questions, we use very small trees. They are on dwarfing rootstocks and in root bags. And what we did is we dug up the trees, we put them in 5-gallon buckets, and we made sure that they're chilling hours were complete, and then we brought them into a greenhouse. And just for scale, this picture shows them in the 5-gallon bucket. So they're very small, easy to move around. Once the trees were happy and blooming, we selected the flowers we were going to use for the experiment. These were selected as close to late pink stage as possible. They're like a loose blossom where the anthers had not dehusked yet. We removed all the anthers with a comb, a very fine tooth comb, and then we removed all the other side blooms, and every other blossom that we weren't going to use was taken off the tree. And then in this picture you can see the little tags, and those colored tags represent what type of pollen was going to be placed on that particular flower. So for pollination, right before they were going to be placed into a grow chamber, we pollinated these flowers, and we used a number 2 paintbrush and a different paintbrush for every type of pollen. So in each set, we used 7 different blossoms of each crabapple cultivar that I have listed here. And we also kept on 7 control blossoms just to have a control with no pollen on them at all. Right after the blossoms were pollinated, we carefully lifted them into a grow chamber. And they were left in that grow chamber for 24 hours, and the temperature was kept constant. 12 hours of that was light, and 12 hours was dark. Once again, we repeated this 4 different temperatures for each maternal cultivar, which were Fuji, Golden Delicious, and Pink Lady. And we used new trees for each temperature. So each temperature had 2 different trees of a cultivar. Once the 24 hours was up, we took the blossoms off the tree in the same order that we pollinated them in, and we placed them in little glass vials of sodium sulfite to preserve the blossom and stop the pollen tube growth. To view the pollen tube growth, we used a stain of aniline blue and dipotassium phosphate. The styles are removed from the blossom, and they are placed on a microscope slide and with this stain, and then they were left in a dark cabinet overnight. So the next morning, we could look at them, and they looked kind of like this. The microscope and camera that we used to look at them could scan the whole slide, so it was really easy to measure how long each style was. So up here at the top, those are the pollen tubes starting to grow down from the stigma into the style. This at the bottom is also glowing, but that's just the natural fluorescence of the style, the hairiness. So what we looked at on each slide was how long the style was, which you can see this little number. That's measuring how long the style was total. We looked at the longest pollen tube, or how far the pollen tube grew down the style. We recorded how many pollen tubes reached the end of the style, if they did. And we also kept track of how much pollen was on the stigma to begin with. So those are some of the aspects we looked at. So for my results, first I mentioned control blossoms. These blossoms didn't have any pollen on them, like that I hand pollinated myself. However, there was a very small bit of pollen on them. It was determined to be significantly different from all the other pollen sources we looked at by a Kruskal-Wallis test. We think this pollen is from the maternal cultivar, so it was just self-pollen on these flowers that showed up a little bit. But because it was so much less than every other pollen source that we looked at, I didn't include it in the graph. So this graph shows overall what I looked at. The significance test was determined by a two-way ANOVA. And what this chart down here shows that at each temperature, the maternal cultivar, or the pollen growing on the maternal cultivar, grew different lengths between Fuji Pink Lady and Golden Delicious. The crabapple pollen source or pollinizer, there were differences between the five sources that I looked at on the maternal cultivars. And then this interaction between the maternal cultivar and the crabapple pollinizer was actually significant at 18 degrees Celsius and at 30 degrees Celsius. However, it wasn't at 12 and 24. So that changes a little bit how we can look at each temperature of the results. But this graph, the lines that you see represent one of the pollen sources, or the crabapple pollinizers. So green would be snowdrift, and the blue at the top is Indian summer. And where that line crosses above the temperature is how far the average of the pollen tube growth at that particular temperature. So at 12 degrees Celsius, we have some significant differences. Selkirk and Thunder Trout grew significantly further than our other three sources. However, at 24 degrees Celsius, there was no differences except for Snowdrift, which grew significantly less than the other four sources. Also interesting to see on this graph, Snowdrift was our only pollen to grow less at 30 degrees Celsius than it did at 24 degrees Celsius. All the other sources kept growing further once you raised the temperature. However, Snowdrift did not. So I'm going to look at each of the temperatures individually so you can kind of see the trends. At 12 degrees Celsius, there was no interaction between the maternal cultivar and the crabapple pollinizer. So each of these graphs had to be analyzed separately. So the trends you see at 12 degrees Celsius, the bars represent the average pollen tube length, and then the green lines at the top represent the style length. So that is how far the pollen tube has to grow to reach the bottom of a style and fertilize the egg. So for pink, the pollen sources growing on Pink Lady, there were no differences between them. Fuji and Golden Delicious did have differences, and on both of those maternal cultivars, Selkirk and Thunder Trout grew the furthest. So at 18 degrees Celsius, because there was an interaction between the crabapple pollinizer and the maternal cultivar, we can analyze everything on this graph together. So we're looking at the same thing, the average pollen tube length, which is represented by the bars, and then we have the green line representing how far the pollen tube has to go. And this is at 18 degrees Celsius, which is around 65. So once again, Pink Lady really has no differences in their pollen sources growing on it. There are some differences on Golden Delicious and on Fuji. Mainly between Selkirk and Snowdrift, or Everest, there's a big difference. And then Fuji has some differences between Indian Summer, Selkirk and Thunder Child, and then Everest and Snowdrift. So at 24 degrees Celsius, Once again, we cannot analyze these all together, so each maternal cultivar is shown separately, is analyzed separately. A trend that keeps showing up is the Pink Lady. There are no differences at this degree Celsius, which is the same as at 18 degrees Celsius and at 12. Golden Delicious, there is significant difference between all the sources, and then Snowdrift is significantly less than the rest. And Fuji also has some differences, especially between Indian Summer and Snowdrift. So the last temperature that I looked at, 30 degrees Celsius, which is around 85, we can analyze everything together here so you can compare between maternal cultivars. There actually are differences on the Pink Lady, the sources on Pink Lady, at this temperature, mainly just between Snowdrift and the rest of the cultivars. Snowdrift grew significantly less. Golden Delicious, there's also differences between Snowdrift and the rest of the cultivars. And on Fuji, Thunderchild actually grew significantly further than everything else, and Snowdrift grew significantly less. So to answer my questions, which crab apple has the fastest growing pollen tubes? There was no clear-cut winner. There was no racehorse pollen that really pulled away from the rest. Thunderchild and Selkirk were mainly, typically the fastest at all the temperatures, but it wasn't always a significant difference. They were just numerically the fastest. However, Snowdrift was always the slowest, and usually that was very significant. So are there differences between these crab apple cultivars? Yes, except on Pink Lady at 12, 18, and 24 degrees Celsius. So there are differences. So not all pollen tubes are the same, at least from these five crab apple cultivars that I looked at. Although some of the differences were minimal, we could research into determining if these differences could cause a successful or an ineffective bloom thinning spray. So could they be the difference, could they improve your thinning spray if you brought in the pollen tube growth rate of your specific pollen source? So references. And thank you. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Are all these crab apples, are they all diploid or are any of them triploid? No.
The question was, are all these crab apples diploid? And yes, they are diploid.
Mm-hmm.
Did you control the humidity? Did I control the humidity? It was just left the same for all the trials. I'm not sure what it was, but it didn't change. It's the same.
Mm-hmm. How was fruit set for
all the blossoms? How was fruit set? Is that your question? We didn't look at fruit set because we harvested all the blossoms, so they were all taken off the trees, so we don't know the fruit set. Anything else?